Today's Shiur Mishnah Berurah is Siman Shin Tes Vav. We're up to Sif Gimel, and the Mishnah Berurah taught once again that one, as we saw in Sif Katan Beis, that one is not allowed to spread out a temporary horizontal canopy, otherwise known as a temporary gag, on Shabbos, for the sake of providing shelter from the sun or shade, even if the area underneath it has no walls. Mishnah Berurah in our Sif, and we're going to see this in Sif Katan Chaf, is going to expand this to any situation in which one puts up a temporary ohel for the sake of making use of the tent space underneath it. In fact, we're going to see the Sharat Zion, will add that this might also extend to a situation in which one puts up the temporary roof for the sake of sealing off a gap. Now, the next few seifim are going to deal primarily with creating temporary tent-like formations for some purpose other than making use of the tent space. Now, the basic principle and source for this principle, the source is Beitza, Lamed Beis through Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. And the key source gives five examples of such tent-like formations, such ohel-like formations. Our siman will discuss two of them. The other three actually are discussed later in Hilchos Yom Tov. Mr. Hashem, you won't cave from being yummy guys, and you'll still be there for that. It's in Tuf Kuf Beis, Sif Aleph, Ayin Shom. We're going to be discussing two of them. Number one, a bed that consists of boards placed over four legs. And two, stacking a bunch of chavises, jugs, barrels, by positioning two of them next to each other with a gap between them, and then placing a third chavis on top of them, which would then cover the gap. The Gemara paskins that putting up these tent-like, these oil-like formations cannot be done in the usual sequence. By placing the boards over the legs or the upper chavis on top of the two lower ones, that's going to be a problem. What must you do? You must hold the boards or upper chavis in the air and slide the legs or lower chavises, the ones on the right, the ones that are going to be the base for the upper chavis that's placed on top of it, horizontally, you have to have the gag up first, and then slide the legs, if you will, underneath, or the walls, underneath the legs, the walls, underneath the gag. The Shulchan Aruch is going to actually specify this explicitly in Sifim Gimel and Vav, and the Mishnah Berurah, when we get to Sif Katan, very soon, Yud Zayin and Yud Tes is going to explain the basis for this. Now, the Rishonim, and this is important as part of our introduction, they're going to have three different approaches as to the limitations to this requirement. There are two limitations. The first comes from the need to reconcile it with the common practice of putting up a table on Shabbos in the usual sequence, placing the table top over the legs. So what are the three approaches? Tosis and the Rush, they hold the requirement to reverse the order applies only when the top of the tent-like formation is placed over walls rather than simple legs. The legs of the bed, to which the Gemara refers, consist of walls. And the two lower, for example, chavises, are walls. And therefore, that's why they have to be put up in reverse order. The table, however, only has legs. And therefore, according to Tosfos, they can be put up in the usual sequence. Right? Rashba maintains that the requirement to reverse the order applies when the tent space underneath the top surface is typically put to use. For example, in the case of the bed, one uses the space underneath the storage or shoes, right? Storage of shoes, or similar to that, to store things. And in the case of the chavis, the tent space allows air to circulate and prevent any type of rotting or decay of the chavises. The tent space of the table, however, serves no purpose, and one can therefore put it up in the usual order, maintains the Rashba. The Ran, quotes Tosfos, this is the third opinion, as maintaining the requirement applies only if both factors are present. The tent space has walls and is typically put to some use. Otherwise, one may put up the formation in the normal sequence. So he needs, Tosfos has a different vision of, the Ran has a different version of Tosfos. He basically demands both factors. The tent space has walls and is typically put to some use. Otherwise, he holds, again, that you could put up the formation in the normal sequence. And we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah, coming up right now, that the Shulchan Aruch follows this third view of the Ran. Now, there's a second limitation that's going to also come from a Gemara, but a different Gemara, Shabbos Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. That's going to state that one can place a pot over a stove on Shabbos. Now, seemingly, this should be a violation of what we just established, because one is placing the pot over walls, and the tent space underneath, meaning the stove itself, serves a purpose of keeping the food warm. So Tosos and other Rishonim explain that the above-mentioned principles apply only when one is actually putting up the walls and the top on Shabbos itself. If, however, the walls are already in place from before Shabbos, then one can create the tent-like formation by placing the object on top of them. That is key. Now, again, this doesn't apply if someone's putting up the roof and any roof for shelter. Because in that case, putting up the canopy is going to be usher, even if there are no walls at all, as we saw earlier in the Mishnah Brura. For sure, then, it's going to be usher if there are walls that were in place before Shabbos. We're talking here where you're not putting up the canopy for shelter below. So in that case, if the walls were already up from before Shabbos, it's going to be okay. Now, one last thing before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. It should be noted that the Gemara on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis paskins that one is not allowed to spread a cloth over a whole wine vat in order to cover it. Tosfos explains that although the walls are already in place before Shabbos, spreading the cloth over such side walls constitutes putting up a usher ohel. Mishnah Brura in our Sif is going to allude to this, and it's going to be discussed much later on in the Siman in Sif Yud Gimel. So we get to Sif Yud Gimel, we'll get much more into that, but it'll be alluded to in the Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Yud Ches. Okay, here we go. We're moving now. April. Here we go. Sif Yud Zayin. Mita keshema mi demoisa asa laniach when assembling a bed. It's asa laniach. It is for asa to set up. Haraglayim tchila, the legs first. Ulaniach aleihem kroshim, and then lay the boards upon them. What must you do rather, Ella? Yasim akroshim tchila ba'avir yachakach haraglayim dachdehem. Rather, what you have to first do is hold the boards in position in the air and then place the legs underneath them. The hani mili, let's do the whole shulchan aruch inside. The hani mili kisharaglayim heim dapim uchubarim kimo dafnei ateva. This applies only when the legs consist of attached planks like the walls of a box. Kimo dafnei ateva, ala raglayim shalito shalonu, as opposed to the legs of the beds that we have. V'chein ragli ha-shulchan, as well as the legs of a table. Mutter b'chol gavna, may have their respective boards placed over them in any manner. Now, if you read this the first time without our introduction, you would not know what this is talking about. But you should have already a good feel, and it will be explained even more explicitly and well, and with great Havana now, with our introduction in the Mishnah Brura. So let's now see Sif Katan Yud Zayin. The Mita, Yeshama Mita Maisa, when you're setting up this bed, Mishnah Brura, in order for us to go thoroughly, right, he has to give his own introduction. We gave the intro to the intro, now he's going to give an introduction. He says, in order to explain this Sif well, Akte Makdam Akhtara, and understand it well, I'm going to have to give you a brief intro. It goes as follows, he says. Although the halacha with regard to a permanent structure, by a permanent structure, if one did even the slightest thing by way of adding to the structure, whether to the walls or to the roof, and all the more so if he puts up the entire roof. Nevertheless, with regard to a temporary ohel, lo asru ba'oseh hagag l'chud. Chazal did not aser putting up a roof alone. Im lo she'oseh hagag, k'de lahagin b'nei hachama v'akshon v'yotei b'zeh. Unless one makes the roof to shield against the sun, rain, or anything similar to that. The asru tzas b'chinas ohel. In which case it is somewhat in the manner of a tent. Meaning, the primary function of a classic tent is to provide shelter. So although it features both walls and a roof, putting up a roof alone for the same purpose is going to bear sufficient resemblance to a classic tent to render it usher as a form of ohel. We're going to see more about this when we get to Sif Katan Chaf in the Mishnah Brura. He goes on, Aval! Otherwise, the Lav Hachi, Lo osru ki im ba'oise gam ha-machitas arai shetachtov b'shabbos. Otherwise, though, they impose no iser unless one also builds the temporary walls underneath it on Shabbos itself. Gam lo osru ki im kisha osar kaseder. And also, furthermore, they impose no iser unless one made the structure that forms the ohel in order. Mitchila ha-machitas, yachak ha-chisui. First the walls, and then the roof. Ta'az do mektas la'ohel keva. Then it will be somewhat similar to a ohel kavua, an enduring tent. But if one made it in the reverse order, Chazal did not ask this. Some poskim actually hold that to aser putting up the ohel, we further require that one have need for the space underneath it. And the Shulchan Aruch is going to pass in this way, as we're going to see coming up in Sif Zion. We're going to see the Shulchan Aruch there passing that one can place two Svarim near each other with a gap between them and place a third Sefer over the gap, even though one is thereby forming a temporary Ohel. This is because the tenth space underneath the third Sefer serves no purpose at all. The Ber Halacha here points out that were it not for this reason, it would have been usher to create this tent-like formation, even though the books have walls of far less than 10 tefachim. What's pshat? The Beir Halacha basically concludes that walls of even one tefach created ohel. And this is a big machlokes. He argues with the Tosefes Shabbos, who maintains the walls must be 10 tefachim. The Chazon Ish tries to give a Chazon Ish in Nun Bey's test. He suggests that Tosefes Shabbos maybe is referring to a case where the walls do not reach all the way up to the roof of the tent-like formation. Maybe there, the walls have to be 10 tefachim, but in order for there to be a ohel, the Ber Halacha concludes that it could be even of a wall that is less than 10 tefachim. Okay, let's move on now. Sif katam yud ches, osur lahanyach, it is osur to set up the legs first, the Shulchan Aruch said, and the Shulchan Aruch bediktu kasaf. He was very meticulous here, very careful in his lashon, in his choice of words. Right? Bediktu kasaf lashon zeh. Because it is specifically current placement of the legs that is usher. Dahavi bezeh kemasri lasos mechitzas lohel. Since one is thereby doing something tantamount to starting the formation of walls of an ohel. And an iser is then going to occur when one subsequently lays the boards on top of them. Aval, however, if, however, the walls were already positioned in that place, one is allowed to lay the boards on top of them, as we said earlier, like we said earlier in Sifkat Yud Zayin. Ach, however, if the bed is extremely wide, he's going to answer even in this scenario, the Magen Avraham and Sif brought down in Sifkat Yud Aleph. By Ein Shem, Sif Yud Gimel, Masha Niftoi B'zeh, see what we're going to write later on in Sif Yud Gimel. And Mr. Brewer there in Sif Katan Mem Dalet is going to discuss a number of practical application of the Magen Avraham's position and the practical Balam Halacha L'maisa in this. The idea here is, again, what's coming out of this Magen Avraham is that if the bed is extremely wide, it's going to be usher, even if the walls were in place from before Shabbos. Okay, so we'll have to see more about that. Let's move on. Yud Tes Haraglayim Tchila. It's usher to set up the legs first and then lay the board upon them. Duhu Kiderech Binyan, because this is the manner of construction. The Haraglayim Hei Mechitza V'Akrashim Shalakisu Yukamo Agak. The legs are a surrounding wall, and the boards comprising the cover are basically like a roof. And it comes out that as if one is putting up a tent on Shabbos. That's what it comes out, as if one is putting it right. Right? It comes out as if one is putting up a tent on Shabbos. Therefore, one has to deviate and change from the regular order. Holding the boards that comprise the cover in the air. And then placing the legs underneath it. This is going to be mutter. Why? Because this is not in the manner, the normal derech of binyan, the normal manner of construction. Now, the Chutshani points out that there's no need to hold the board at the precise height at which they will remain atop the legs. Holding the board somewhat higher is going to be enough because it's still obvious that one is deviating from the usual manner of construction. Sif katon chaf bahani mili. He said this applies only when the legs consist of attached planks, whereas the legs of the beds that we have, right, can be is different, right? Well, let's see. Hatam, what's the reason? The reason we permit placing the bed over isolated legs in the regular order, he's going to explain. Ohel arai kazeh, when it comes to a temporary ohel, such as this, she'eino miskavein ba'asiyas l'shem ohel shetachtov el l'tashmish acher al gava l'mala, where one's kavana in assembling it is not for the sake of the tent space underneath it, but rather for a different use. His intention is not for the sake of the tent space underneath it, but for what use? Atop and above it. El l'tashmish acher al gava l'mala. That's what he wants. He wants the use on top of it by a bed. And the tent-like space below is merely being formed as a result. He wants to be on top of the bed, to lie on the bed. So lo asu So Chazal asked this only when one puts up walls underneath it as well. Like you see, sometimes you have bunk beds where there are walls on the side. That's going to be a problem. In contrast, when one spreads out a sheet or mat for the sake of the tent space, such as to shield against the sun or rain, right? Could go in the hugging and neag chama, the hag shamim, o kadesh yeroy lishdamish tatav the ezed davar, or so that it should be fit for some use underneath it. Aser, it's going to be aser. Af below mechitzas, it's going to be aser to put it up even in the absence of any walls mechitzas at all. Like kadehi ukehahi the sif beis besov, like the case presented in the end of sif beis, meaning the case of the mat. Which we had. Kasav Amagan Avram, the Magan Avram writes, the Lestom Nekev Shah Ashan Yotze Shekoyin Koyman Bikar Shal Tevin Vikayotzi Bo Efsha the Asr. So here comes the Magan Avram with another possible Qumrah. Again, we had said where the problem, if you put up the covering, it's only gonna be a problem if it's the covering alone and no walls or the walls coming up after. That's only when it's for the shelter or for the function below. Comes here the Magen Avraham and he's going to say that it's possible that sealing off an outlet through which smoke escapes, which is called a koimen, a chimney, with a straw cushion, like a pillow, or the like, it's possibly says it's aser. Why? The kevin sheyesh also a makom mechitzas b'nei atzmo. Since that area has its own walls, havi ka'ose ohel b'tzchila. It is tantamount to creating an ohel from scratch. The eno dome lemasher tana b'simin shin yud gimel l'stom ha'aruba shabagag mitam duhurak hosefes ol aroy. And it's not similar to what we had in shin yud gimel, the Mishnah Brura there sifkat and aleph, where we permitted sealing off a skylight. The hasam, right, because it was viewed as a temporary addition to an ol. Because there the hasam aruba eno maksik ela michzak hagag. Because there, the skylight encompasses only part of the roof, while here, Elkanah Nekev Shahashan Yotze Machzik Kol Rochav Amachitzas Shesavivlo. Here, the exhaust outlet of the chimney encompasses the entire width of the wall surrounding it, and plugging it with a cushion is basically equivalent to putting up a roof over walls. V'hava Al Yedei Stima Sakar Kegag Al Machitzas. Right? Plugging it with a cushion is basically equivalent to putting up a roof over walls. Ulefi zeh, poshet. According to this, it's poshet. The manekev hu bakotel min atzad mutil l'stom bekar. The hu rak tosefes mechitza b'yam. It's obvious, though, that if the outlet is in the wall on the side, it could be sealed off with a cushion, since this is merely an addition to an existing wall. The Sharat Zion here points out the following. He points out that the yisoid here is, again, let's make sure we understand what's going on. It's also to make even the slightest permanent addition to the roof or walls of a permanent structure. But you're not allowed to spread out a temporary roof for purposes of creating a shelter, even if there are no walls at all, or the walls were in place before Shabbos. The same applies to spreading out a temporary roof for the sake of making use of the tent space underneath it. But it is going to be questionable here, with based on this Magen Avraham, whether one can spread out a temporary roof over walls that were in place before Shabbos, if one's aim is to plug the gap between the walls. Therefore, we're going to see coming up a whole slew of additional ideas as we continue on in the Mishnah Brura. So let's go on. Od Kasav. The Prima Gadam also writes. He writes as follows. The blech she'asui b'koymin v'kavu hasham. A blech, a sheet of metal, affixed to a chimney, mutter, right, v'kavu hasham, mutter l'stombo b'shabbos v'yomtov. It can be used to seal the outlet on Shabbos and Yomtov. Since it is affixed there, to hold the kavu hasham, havi kedeles. It is like a door. V'ayim b'toysefes Shabbos she'kasav. See, going on further, toysefes Shabbos there, who states, the ma'adim estapek ha'magen avram u'davka, he states that the Magen Avraham's uncertainty applies specifically when the chimney outlet is at least 3 tefachim wide. For otherwise, ilavachi amrinan lavud. Otherwise, we're going to say that this is lavud, and it is considered v'havi kesasim, it's considered sealed, and it will therefore be ushri. It will therefore be mutter, be permitted to go ahead and physically plug it with the cushion. This is ke'ein mashe kasav l'mala b'sif beis, along the lines of what we wrote in Sif Bais, right? The Mishnah Brura there taught that a gap of less than 3 tefachim is viewed as an existing ohel, so that there's no iser in physically covering or sealing it. You should check out the Chazon Ish, who takes issue with this shtickle. Ach, this is the Chazon Ish in Nun Beis test. Ach, a prima gadim lo pshita le davar zeh kol kach. However, the prima gadim is not so certain of this. I ain't shum. Check it out. The prima gadim doesn't think it's such a great analogy to Sif Beis. It seems that one can rely on the Tosefes Shabbos, and if he does, he doesn't miss out. Because this entire matter of assering the placement of the cushion in the outlet itself is, as we said, it's a question. It's questionable even according to the Magen Avraham. He's not 100% sure. It's possible that the walls underneath it, the cushion, are not considered walls with respect to this issue. Because as we said, whole shaz to Yosef Makvar, because they've already been made beforehand. And therefore, the whole nakuda here is this possibility of the Magen Avraham possibly concerned with the issue of going ahead, and when you go ahead and you put the straw cushion, and it has its own walls, could be usher, because since it has its own walls, it's like creating an OL from scratch, because you're totally sealing the area within. Okay, but again, that's not necessarily a me'achuz. Okay, as we said, it might be totally okay. Therefore, nira the kolzek ish einu munach az gechalim lo chashet batano. He goes on and he says, but even if you're going to be mekel, combining the Tosefes Shabbos on top of the Prima Gadim, on top of the Magen Avraham, near the Kozek Yeshayna Munach Ad Gecholam Lo Chashos Batanar. Because this is only going to be allowed to go ahead and seal up the chimney if there are no glowing coals in the oven. He's getting into the practical lacha. It would be usher, anyhow, for a Jew to seal the outlet of the chimney above the coals on Shabbos, because that's going to cause the coals to be extinguished. Even though you have the for this, it's still a psik reisha, because for sure it's going to extinguish it when you totally seal it. Like what we wrote in Shemesh and Test, Besofo, Besim and Reish Ayin Zayin, and Reish Ayin Zayin, Sif Aleph, Ayin Shom. Dapin Mechubar, in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph, attached planks. Besim and Tavkuf Beis, Pasav Abbeis Yosef, the Ba'inin Shiyu Alechitzos Magiyin Ad La'aretz. He points out that in Tavkuf Beis, the Beis Yosef requires that the Mechitzos actually. We're talking about that in order for assembly of the bed to be usher, the walls of the bed must extend to the floor. However, if it is only less than 3 tefachim from the ground, that the walls do not reach it, we will go ahead and invoke the principle of lavud and view the walls as if they reached the ground. And with regard to a crate that also has an underside beneath it, like the crate that is called, he goes like the crate, kamo teva shekarin shlufbank, like a teva that is called a shlufbank, a sleeping bench, right? It's like a collapsible bed that, when folded, has walls in the bottom. That space was used to store the bed covers. Then they had a plank that was then placed on top of that space so that the apparatus could serve as a bench. Ayin b'sif gimel yud gimel mashen nifto b'zeh. He says we should. We'll see in sif yud gimel what we're going to write regarding this. The Mishnah Berurah apparently means that if a box has walls at the bottom, then the walls need not reach the ground, even if they reach the floor of the box, and they are one tefach high. We'll see this. Okay, the OL is going to be viewed as having walls in such a scenario. Sif katan chav beis dafne ha teva. The walls of a chav beis, the walls of a box. Kasa bataz. The Taz writes, the after batur isa arba dapin mechubarin, although the Torah has it that the bed has four attached planks, lav dafku, this is not meant to be exclusive. The mita shederach l'shtamesh ba'avira mitacha b'hanachas minalim v'chayotze bo, this will be pointed out in the introduction, when it comes to a bed where the space underneath it is typically used to keep shoes and the like, then asur afil g'sheyesh l'rak shnei dapin m'shnei tfadim, then guess what? It's going to be asur to put it up in the usual order, even if what? Even if it has only two planks, two planks on opposite sides, to reach the floor. Because with two walls alone, it's considered an OL with walls. We'll see coming up in Siv Vav, and we'll see coming up with regard to the Chavios case we discussed a little bit in the introduction as well. However, other Achronim agree to this. In contrast to this, with respect to the table, which the Shulchan Aruch allows assembling in the usual order, that applies afilu kishiyesh lo ma'at mechitzas, even when it has some walls. They know also like kishiyesh lo arba dapin mikol atzmat dani gemara teva, and it's going to be also only if it has four planks on all sides like a box. Thus chashiv oel ba'anachas adap nulmal. Then it is considered an oel when placing the board on top. Mishum. Otherwise, its space is presumably not meant for use, the part that was enclosed. And if the space of the tent-like formation is not used, it's not considered an OL. We'll see coming up in Siv Zayin. Therefore, a table needs to have four planks on all sides like a box. The Azroi Lishtamish Ba'aviro. Because then its space, its tent space is going to be fit for use. Some achronim, though, are inclined to be makel with respect to the table and actually tend to allow placing the board on top of it, even when it has four walls on all sides. The mistama ain't sarach la'avi shatapta, because it can be assumed that one has no need for the space underneath it. In lo, shadarcha l'shtamisham. Exception would be where one typically makes use of that area. Ach, however, l'shon ha'shulchan aruch k'shekasa v'chein rak l'ashulchan, the l'shon ha'shulchan aruch, when he states, the b'shulchan im ayum achitzes hayagam kein sarach la'achmir, sorry, shekasa, when he writes, v'chein rak l'ashulchan, when he said, as well as the legs of the table, what does that imply? Mashma, the b'shulchan im ayum achitzes hayagam kein sarach la'achmir. That implies that the table would have walls, one would have to be machmir. Right? The implication is that the table, like the bed, has no walls. We'll see more about this in coming up in Sivkan Chav Gimel. The Alkain, Nochon Bavada Lachosha de Reataz, Lechosa Daf Abi Yafizu Tata Raglayim. Therefore, it's certainly proper to be machmir, the Taz, Lechosa Daf Ba'avir, and accordingly put up a table by holding up the board in the air, the Yafizu Tata Raglayim, and sliding the legs underneath it. It's implied for the Prima Gadim as well. And all of this is applicable only if one moves the legs from one location to another in order to place the board on top of them. Because then when he sets them up for that purpose, it's considered as if he has begun making the oel. However, the legs are stationary. And even according to the Taz, it would be mutter to place the board on top of them, even if the legs have walls on all four sides. Like we said earlier in Sif Katan Yud Zayin, Sif Katan Yud Ches, Gabe Mita. Right? We wrote this earlier in Sif Katan Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. Like we said in the introduction, putting up an OL over walls that are already in place is usher only if done for the distinct purpose of using the tent space, or if the area between the walls is very wide. We continue on. Sif katan chaf gimel mutter bechol gavni. Finally, they may have their respective boards placed over them in any manner. Why? Because the legs of our beds and tables do not have walls, and therefore no problem. He says the svari here is that all that we said above is when the connection of the board to the legs is loose. However, if the board on the table is connected and weighted firmly, as is common, like it's common by the some tables, then to be usher, not only that, furthermore, even if one does not attach it firmly right now, if normally, even if he doesn't attach it right now firmly, but it's always meant to be connected and wedged firmly, so here also, someone has to be careful, you have to be careful, person has to be careful not to attach it even loosely. For example, this would apply with regard to a bed frame that is meant to be firmly attached to the legs. We all spell this out, right? Well, in Shin Yud Gimel, Sif Vav, regarding a bed made of detachable parts, see there, Ad Kan.